I've got a testimony. Amen. How good God has been to me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We praise God for his faithfulness for another day's journey. Amen. Praise God for the choir leading us in worship so faithfully. Amen. Amen. Praise God for New Jersey Mass Choir. Amen. Amen. We are continuing in our series. Our series is Try Me. Good to see you today. Try Me. Amen. Do me a favor and stand to your feet for the reading of the word. Amen. As we consider what God is saying through his word, through his scripture. Amen. Amen. Try Me is our series on faithfulness in giving. And you're familiar with the verse. It's on the front of your bulletin, but you can also turn to it in your Bible in the book of Malachi. That prophet Malachi in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Amen. I didn't put the preceding portion of, or portion A of the verse, but it really starts off by saying something like this. It says, now a saint is not going to rob God, but you robbed me. Well, how did you rob God? Well, we rob God through tithes and offering. Then it clarifies it by saying, it's not a tithe if it's not 10%. So he says, bring not 8%, not 9%, but the whole tithe into God's house. And he explains why. He says that there might be resources meet in my house. That's what he says. But then he does something very interesting. He says, and I'll prove to you. Some poor translations say, if I won't open the window. But that's not the best translation. Best translation has to do with the agricultural design of a floodgate that would hold back the waters. He said, if I won't open up the floodgates and have water gushing out so much so that you won't have buckets, containers, enough to hold it. He says, I'll pour you out a blessing in abundance. Amen? Amen? Come on, let's read it together. That was my translation, but I'll read it for you. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, beginning at Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. Amen. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And try me now in this, saith the Lord, if I will not open unto you the floodgates of heaven and pour you out a blessing even to abundance. Amen. You may be seated. You want me to lower it? It's too high? All right, how's that? Is that good? Amen. Amen. The Bible is a wonderful and powerful word to the believer. And we got to be careful because from time to time, what we do, we choose the scriptures that we want to use. Amen. But I want to challenge you that God's word, his entire word, is for his entire people. Amen. Now, God, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds so that we might hear from heaven. We thank you for your word. We thank you for its power. We thank you for its truth. God, help us not to be distracted by the enemy, but to focus on you. Remind us that the devil is mad, and he really wants us to be distracted. But we've determined to be focused. We focus now on your word and its truth, Lord. Your word is truth. By the foolishness of the gospel, men and women, boys and girls still are saved. Preach now. Solo Dio Gloria. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at our new series, Try Me, on last week, we made one major claim. And that major claim that the tithe is a matter of trust. But I had to add on that claim because I need you to understand God's nature. God's nature is this: in every relationship, he desires it to be reciprocity. He desires it to be reciprocity, so much so that you cannot do for God without God doing for you. Yeah. Think about it. Anytime you do for God, God's going to do something for you. This morning I was talking to the bee, and the bee explained to me that every time it eats pollen from a plant, it's cross-pollinating. It explained to me that in its very nature, that when it goes after the pollen, it's spreading the pollen and helping the flowers to produce. And that's true in every godly relationship. Whenever you do for someone in a real sense, they're going to do for you, or God will make sure that someone else does for you. That's just his nature. And so the claim is that first, when you practice the tithe, you are declaring your devotion. That you are literally saying, God, I love you. When you practice tithe, you're practicing devotion because first, you're prioritizing God. But second, you're practicing one of his particular love languages, meaning that God said, bring the tithe into the storehouse. Your pastor didn't make that up. Amen. Some other pastor didn't make it up. Some people might manipulate it, but it's in the word. You got to bring the tithe into the storehouse. Now, I know somebody told you somewhere, well, if you go to church and you just show up and maybe even serve, then you don't have to tithe. Well, let me go back to the scripture. The Bible does not say that your service excludes your tithe. Amen. One of the rules that we have in my house is that you got to do your homework, but you also got to do your chores. Amen. So it is in God's house. It's the tithe. It's God's particular love language. And he's training us. And this is important because all of our hearts are deceptive. Yeah, your heart is deceptive, and so is mine. Because when I want to do what I want to do, I can make reasons to do what I want to do. Amen. And so do you. Amen. And so it challenges our heart to say that we're going to do just what God wants us to do in declaring our devotion. But the second blessing that comes through the tithe, are you ready? The second major blessing that comes through the tithe is, are you ready? We develop discipline. Oh, I knew you'd shout right there. Thank you very much. Amen. Please sit down and calm down. Yeah, nobody wants to develop discipline. In fact, can I tell you from my generation, and y'all, I'm really young. I know I don't look like it. I'm really young, almost millennial, right? My generation doesn't even like to use the word discipline. And let me explain why before you jump on us. Because in my home, when we talked about discipline, we weren't talking about godly practices. We weren't talking about godly habits. In my home, discipline had to do with leather love. Okay. In my home, discipline had to do when my daddy got home and I was in trouble and he was going to discipline me. Well, I am not talking about corporal punishment here. When I say discipline, I'm referring to self-restraint. Why don't you say that? Self-restraint. And I want to talk to you for a moment because all of us can use some self-restraint. Now, your area of self-restraint, the need for self-restraint, may not be my area of self-restraint. All of us can use some self-restraint. The good news is when you practice self-restraint in one area, it's easier to practice self-restraint in another area. Amen. If you can push back from the Haagen-Dazs, then it'll help you push back from the Hennessy. Amen. If you can... Amen. If you can push back from cussing, then you can push back from being callous. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you in your heart. Can I sit next to you? Do you mind? Amen. Let me sit next to you. You, too, can deepen your discipline. And when you deepen your discipline, you become exceptional. Woo! I don't know if you watch any sports, but if you watch sports, can I tell you why you enjoy sports? Because you are impressed by the discipline of the athlete. The athlete is someone who has disciplined their body, who has disciplined their mind, who has trained themselves to do stuff that others cannot do. I love boxing. I'm amazed by boxing because those boxers can do stuff that I only imagine I could do. Amen. And so it is with you. All of us are attracted to discipline, although we don't like the process of discipline. But let me talk to you now about financial discipline. God says he wants to help us in the area of our finances. God wants to help us with our moolah. God wants to help us with our money. God wants to help us with our cheese. God wants to help us with our cash flow. God wants to help us in the area of our money. And he says, here's the first thing. If you're going to practice the discipline that comes from tithing, if you want to develop discipline that shows up in all your life, but especially in your finances, it starts, one, are you ready? With the mentality, with the idea, with the truth of stewardship. Amen. Why don't you say stewardship? Now, I knew that was going to get you, but let me just keep on preaching. Amen. Stewardship is the mentality that God wants us to have. And stewardship, get this, is simply this. Stewardship says that God owns it all. Stewardship says that God owns it all. God owns 100% of everything that I have and everything that you have. I know your name is on it now, but give it a few years, one casket and one service, and somebody else's name will be on it. Because at the end of the name, at the end of the day, God owns it all. And because God owns it all, look, Pastor, look, Reverend Thorpe, I need to follow his will in how I handle it. Now, here's the good news. God lets me manage it. Amen. He lets me manage it, but he only lets me use discretion over 90% of it. Yeah, I can handle 90% in a different way, but that 10% goes to God. It all belongs to God. Let me get your attention back. Please don't be offended. Stay seated. Don't walk out the room because it's going to offend somebody. There's only two mentalities you can have towards your money. The first mentality you can have towards your money is called stewardship. God owns it all. The second mentality you can have towards your money is called stupid. You own it all. Wait a minute. Don't get upset, deacons. Let me explain. This comes from Luke chapter 12, where Jesus said that this man was foolish. Can I give you the contemporary translation for foolish? Stupid. Yeah. When you think that you own everything that you have, when you think that you started your journey and you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps, that your daddy gave you a couple $1 million loan and you didn't pay your taxes and you ripped off people and now you're so successful. Yeah. That's not the truth. That's a lie. That's stupid. Amen. In fact, think about the verse where the man says that I had these barns, you know, and I had these workers, you know, and I did so much and I put it in the ground and the ground produced, and so I got to do more with all my stuff. So what do? I got to get more accounts. I got to get more houses, and that's a contemporary translation. I got to get more cars. And Jesus said to him, man, that's stupid. In fact, this night your soul will be required of thee. Amen. I know I'm preaching. Yeah, because the truth is all of us need to reconcile with the reality is that everything you have, it's because of God. I worked so hard. Well, God gave you the strength. I studied so long. Well, God gave you the intellect. I did so much. Don't you know you could have been born in a country where you wouldn't have had the opportunity to do what you did? Don't you know you could have been born at a time when you wouldn't have had the opportunity to build what you built? You got to give God credit. That's why the story says that he put it in the ground. Because once you put it in the ground, you're relying on the grace. Because once it's in the ground, God's got to do it. Now, yes, you did some stuff, and I praise God for you. I praise God for the labor. I praise God for the sacrifice. I praise God for the mentality or the stewardship. But you got to give credit to God, because the Bible says that all things come from God. The Bible declares that every good and perfect, this is James, every good and every perfect gift comes from God. If God gave you the gift to cook, that came from him. If God gave you the gift to account, God, that came from him. If God made you an administrator, that came from him. If God gave you the ability to sing, oh Lord, I wish, that came from him. Whatever you got, it came from him.
And so when we start off by giving him credit for what he's already done, then that sets a stewardship mentality. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, he who is not offered unto sacrifice. And then he goes up to say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the Lord. This is so important because a stewardship mentality will lead to a praise mentality. Because yes, when I get a paycheck, I do say praise God. Because at the end of the day, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I got to pause right here because some of y'all are not feeling this. I'm from Virginia. Look, originally from Sacramento, but I met my wife in Virginia, from Virginia. And look, I worked for a banking company that was so progressive, that was so aggressive. Man, they had so much money. They were always acquiring another bank. We had a chart showing of how much money we were acquiring in this next term. We were so successful. We had a joke. The bank was Wachovia, and they said that we walked over our clients. We walk over you because we made so much money off fees and other things. We were so successful, and suddenly something happened. There was a downturn. There was a financial break. There was a financial problem, and the whole bank was suddenly acquired in a matter of a month. Everything changed. They had to change the name of the banks that stayed open and close down the other ones. Why am I telling this? Because I want you to know, just because you're a shot caller, just because you're a baller, just because you work at some big institution, just because you're part of some grand part, don't you know that God is in control of all of that? And with the flip of a trip, yeah, God can say, I can turn it around. You need to know that God is the only one that's sustaining and the only one that's sustainable. He's the only one. There's somebody here who can testify that they had been so healthy and so strong and they were so focused on their agenda, and suddenly something went wrong. It was either the job loss or the health loss, and it changed everything. But they can also testify that God has now healed it. And all I'm trying to do is make sure I get into your head and your heart and remind you that at the end of the day, it's all about God. It's not what you can acquire. It's not what you can own. It's not your title. It's not your position. I'm telling you, it's all about God. One thing I love about being a father of seven is at home, I clean up poop. I do whatever I'm called to. I am the servant. I get in trouble all the time. Get up off that couch and go change a diaper. You wanted these babies. My wife never calls me pastor. Come here. Let me make it plain. My wife never calls me pastor. She always makes sure I remember I'm just a man. You are just God's servant, but everything he's given you has made you wealthy. And I got to talk to Shiloh because we live in a time, we live in a world where we are wealthy. We eat what we want to eat and when we want to eat. Most of us have more than one pair of shoes. This isn't even on the script. Most of us have more than one pair of shoes. We got extra clothes. We got clothes we can't fit since yesterday. In fact, we ought to have a sacrifice service when all of us go to our house and take everything that we can't fit and we just offer it unto the Lord and we give it to the needy. I'm talking to you. I'm trying to get you to know you are blessed. And because you are blessed, it's not a problem to give the tithe. It's the right response to give the tithe. It's only right. It's only right. It's only right. First, this discipline is giving God his due. It's a stewardship mentality. And until our mentality is right, our reality will always be messed up. Once our mentality is right, then we can fix our reality. Because the truth is, all of us have been blessed. Can I tell you the truth? During our last finance meeting, I had to look at our finances, and it was funny. Here at Shiloh, it is not the richest people who give the most. It is the people who are the most financially disciplined. You can be mad at me for telling the truth, but that's my job. Amen. The truth is, when you practice financial discipline, it will bless your life, it will bless this church, it will bless the kingdom, because you're following God's plan. Let the church say amen. Not only that is it a matter of financial discipline, but it's a matter of strategy. It's a matter of strategy. All of us need to understand that God has a strategy for us to be blessed and for us to be a blessing. Can I talk to you about a strategy? It's recognizing that the whole can be broken. This is so simple, but so important. Into portions. And before you start thinking about what you want, what you need, or what you like, before you start thinking about the red bottom shoes or that nice purse, that Louis Vuitton, or that nice car, before you start thinking about whatever you think about, just look at the whole and break it into portions. In fact, some of the wealthiest people in our time call it the 10-10-10 model. The 10-10-10 model says this: the first 10% I give. That's the tithe. That's a sacrifice. The first 10% I give. But then the second 10% I give to my future through savings. Man, you do one of those sermons where people just get so happy they're going to go home and call their friends. You won't believe what Pastor talked about. He talked about savings. Yeah, I set aside 10%. When you set aside 10% in savings, then God can ensure and assure your future. You are saying that, God, I am not so arrogant to think that I'll always have the same flow. And so because I know there are seasons and reasons and flow and breaks of flow, I'm going to set aside a portion just to be there. Hodari, don't ask what it's for. You don't need to know what it's for. Just leave it there. Amen. That's called savings. When we save, we not only prepare for our future, but we add peace in our presence. Because all of us know that when your upkeep is too high, it will be your downfall. And so some of this worry, we can nip in the budget. Some of this worry we can nip in the budget by putting 10% in savings. Amen. But then there's another 10% that you're encouraged to do, and that's to invest. Did you know the Bible talks about investing cash, your bread on the waters, in various places? And let me talk to all my young people. If you are under 20, let me see your hand. Under 20, anybody under 20? Amen. There's one. Raise that hand up. Don't be ashamed. There's anybody under 20? Anybody under 20? There's one. Anybody under 30? Anybody under 30? Let me see your hand. Whoa. Let me talk to you about investing. And to all of us about investing. Investing is such a powerful principle. What you are doing is you are planting a seed. You are saying that, God, I want my future to be blessed. I want my future to be big. I want my future to blossom. And because you're doing that, you're looking for wise ways. And look, I said 10%. I got to confess, one of my challenges is I'm an over-investor. Amen. So when my wife got married, we started buying a house a year. But you know, there was a house bust. And that busted us, and we were on our bottoms. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but she stayed with me. Praise God. It's the idea that you set aside a portion and you wisely invest it. Now, we'll give you a whole lot more training because we're getting ready to offer D3. So if you have debts, if you have credit cards, if you have things that have to be paid down, we're going to talk and teach about greater strategy. But the basic strategy is to see your money first as portions and to properly ascribe those portions so that you will have a healthy financial life. Amen. That's stewardship applied in a strategy. But the next thing I want to talk to you about, and then I'm done. Amen. Y'all have been wonderful, is sacrifice. Because at the end of the day, there's never any discipline without sacrifice. Amen. What are you willing to sacrifice? Amen. It takes sacrifice to get to where you want to be. It takes sacrifice to do what you want to do. But the good news is, for the Christian, we understand that sacrifice is not just killing something. That sacrifice is not just giving something, but sacrifice is this belief in the goodness of God, and that as we give to God, God will more bountifully give to us. In fact, the Bible teaches us that if you sow sparingly, this is 2 Corinthians 9:6, that if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. One word for sowing is investing. It's the idea that when I put it in God's hand, God has a way of blessing it. God has a way of touching it. I want to talk to you, because no matter where you are, no matter what you have, if you invest it in a godly way, if you give it to God in a godly way, if you sacrifice in this season for the next season, then you will find yourself so blessed, because that's the nature of God. And you can count on God. Amen. One of our leaders here, we were in our deacons meeting, and I asked him to talk about tithing. I said, Lee, can you talk about tithing? And he started this way. He said, my mama taught me to tithe, and I've tithed ever since. I've been doing this ever since, and God has blessed me beyond measure. I can't tell you how much he's blessed me, but he's blessed me beyond measure. I want to talk to you about the truth of sacrifice, that when you practice godly sacrifice, then you can beat God's giving no matter how you try. In fact, I want to challenge all of us to do a personal and a secret challenge, to choose an area of your life where God is calling you to go, where God is calling you to do, where God is calling you to offer up, where God is calling you to sacrifice. And I dare you to dare God. I dare you to follow God in such exceptional way and sacrifice in such exceptional way. And I bet you will see God show up in your life. I bet you will see God step in your world. I bet you will see God blow your mind and rock your world, because the nature of God is you cannot beat his giving. In fact, I know I'm in the Bible. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 7, it says, do not be mocked. God will not be mocked. It says, God is not a fool. If you do for God, God will do for you. If you're faithful to God, God will be more than faithful for you. Now, this is not just your finances. This is your heart and your whole world. Try God. Decide that you will see if God will not do everything he said he will do, if God will not show you everything he said he will show you. God is so faithful. All you got to do is try him and see. He'll show up. And can I talk to you? Some of you have a boring life because you're the master of your life and the captain of your life, because you do what you want to do and you plan your own agenda. Can I talk to you? You know what gets exciting when you decide to trust God? You do what God says do. You go where God says go. You offer what God says offer. And you will discover that God is just that big and just that good. You'll walk around going, wow, and woo, and wow. I know I'm in the Bible. I could give you testimony after testimony, but because you've been so wonderful, let me just give you one. My oldest son loves to earn money, but we don't give him money for every chore, because chores have to be done. We chop wood and we stack wood. I love chopping wood and stacking wood. Y'all the reason I like to chop wood. Amen. Look, I love to chop wood and stack wood, and my son, he helps me, but he says, Dad, I need to earn some money. I said, son, don't worry about earning money. You just keep doing what I tell you to. He said, no, Dad, I want some money. I said, Hodari, man, leave me alone. He said, Dad, it's snowing outside. Can you take me around? I'm going to shovel snow. I said, man, if you don't leave me alone. And then finally, my son was literally outside with a dirt shovel that's not for snow, shoveling the neighbor's snow. I said, what are you doing, man? He said, I'm shoveling the neighbor's snow because I know if I shovel his snow, then eventually I'm going to get some financial gain. I said, oh my goodness. I had to go outside. I went and found the snow shovel. I'm shoveling along with my son, my neighbor's snow. My neighbor walks out and goes, what are y'all doing? I said, my son wanted to shovel snow. He said, thank you so much, young man. Let me give you a little something. I said, praise God. So I said, the next time it snows, maybe I'll take you and I'll pay you. We'll just shovel some of the member snow. Doesn't that make sense? So we shovel in snow and my son's out and one of the deacon pulls up. They weren't supposed to catch us, and he gives my son a little something. I said, oh my goodness. Look. So the next time my other son says, I'm going to join in and try and see. So now me and my boys are driving around and we try not to let people see us. We just doing it as a gift and then I'll pay them. But people keep seeing it. In fact, somebody says, I saw you on my security camera. I saw you with two young men shoveling snow. I want to look everywhere we go. Finally, it got so bad. And I know it's the end of the snow season. Thank you, Jesus. It got so bad. Look. Don't clap yet. No, because God is so much into blessing those who want to be good stewards that he does this. My neighbor says, look, I know you're shoveling snow. I have a snow blower. Now, I don't use my snow blower anymore. I'm going to give you and your sons my snow blower. So one of my sons said, come on. One of my sons said to the other, he said, look, next year, we really going to do it big. Yeah. Dad, all you got to do is drive us around town whenever it snows, and we're going to shovel snow. Come here. Let me talk to you. God wants us to have the kind of mentality that says, I have so much. I can do so much. And God will bless me while I do what I do. Yes, you may not be able to shovel snow, but you can go to work with a smile on your face. You may not be able to go to work with a smile on your face, but you can show up and help somebody. You can do whatever God has given you the capacity to do. And when you do it sacrificially, God will show up instantly and sometimes after a little while, and he will bless you. God's nature is to be faithful. And when God is faithful and when you are faithful, only God knows what he's going to do in your world. He will show up and he will show out. He will say, all my promises are yes. If you wait on me, if you walk in my word, if you try and see, I will meet you with my goodness and my mercy. Don't worry about what men are doing. I'm going to take care of you. And every now and then, I'll use man to bless you. But I am God. I'm responsible for you. You just listen to me. You just walk after me. You just chase after me. You just give unto me. You just do what I say do. And if you keep on doing and doing and doing and doing and doing, after some hours and after some days and after some years, you'll turn around and you'll say, God has blessed me. He's blessed my children. He's blessed my home. He's blessed my grandchildren. He's blessed my stuff. He's blessed me with more than I can ask, with more than I can imagine. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Try him with every part of your life. Try him with every piece of your life, and he will bless you. He is God. I can testify. I've tried him for myself. I've stepped out and seen what God will do for those who trust in him. Try him. Try him. Try him. Try him. Try him. And trust him. The Bible says that he'll make your enemies your footstool. The Bible says that he'll lift you up when you fall down. The Bible says that if you trust him, he will always keep you, even through your shortcomings. He'll keep you in every season. And that doesn't mean that it'll always be easy. That doesn't mean you always have everything you want. That doesn't mean you'll always be smiling and chewing bubble gum, but it does mean I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. It does mean that God knows what you need. He knows how you need it. He knows where you need it. And you might feel like you can't go on, but he'll give you strength to go on. You might feel like you don't have enough, but he'll give you more than enough. I've got to testify. I've seen God all over my life. I've seen God in my mother. She went through a divorce. She lost her house, and we cried. It was difficult. We thought it was the worst thing since sliced bread. But it wasn't but 2 years later. I don't know how you get another house after bankruptcy. 2 years later, she got a bigger house and a better house. And look, I was away at college. She said, in this community, I don't cut my grass. They cut my grass. Whatever it is, God says, I know where you are. I know what you need. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Don't worry about it. Trust him with it. Trust him with it. And watch God be God. Song said, you can be God's giving no matter how you try. As you are living,
and the Lord is in heaven on high, the more you give, Just keep on giving, because it's really true that you can't be God-giving, no matter how you try.
Come on, let's sing it together. Amen, amen. The doors of the church are open. We praise God for His Spirit in this place. I just want to challenge you. Don't just think about the money, but think about your life. Ask God, God, show me the areas that I haven't submitted and committed to you. Because God says, as you submit and commit every area of my life, every area of your life, then I'll bless it. God cannot bless what we do not give to Him. God cannot bless what we do not give to Him. Any area of our life that we refuse to give to Him cannot be fully blessed by Him. But as we give it to Him, He can bless it. And He can bless it like nobody else can. Hallelujah. Be God's giving.
No matter how you try,
as you are living, and the Lord is in heaven on high. The doors of the church open if you're here today.